Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the seven route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go. Let's go.
Welcome inside Patriots Playbook. For Thursday on September the 5th, game week one. Week one, game one of the NFL season. I'm John Rook, Eric Scalavino, PFW in progress, Patriots Football Weekly with us as well, as he always is. Today we spend some time talking about the week's opponent. Even though we generally try to work it in earlier in the week, today's the day that you focus primarily on what's coming up on Sunday. It's the first game of the year. It's the Buffalo Bills. It's a divisional rival. It's a team that you've whipped now 18 out of the last 19 times. Why should the Patriots be concerned with the Buffalo Bills? One reason. You got to press the
First time on the radio. Rookie. Sorry, John.
Why? A hell of a start right there.
You know, despite that fact that you just pointed out, 18 of the last 19,
yes.
Ralph Wilson's a tough place for them to play, especially if things start to go downhill quickly. As we saw a couple of years ago, when Brady and the Patriots were up big, like by three touchdowns, and it looked like another blowout win for the Pats, and then the roof just caved in, and Brady was throwing pick sixes, and the team was fumbling, and the Bills came back and actually won that game. They broke that streak, you remember?
Hey, they fell behind in the first half last year.
They sure did. It's not as easy a place to play.
And still ended up hanging half a hundred on them.
Well, they did, yeah. Eventually they came back, but it's a whole new squad this year with a lot of new players, a lot of young players. And if they start making mistakes early, John, and give the Buffalo Bills any chance, that place can get loud, and that's a reason. You asked for one reason. That's the one reason I can come up with.
So, and this is, I actually give this some thought over the course of the last, few hours, and started thinking about it last night. I really tried to find one reason why Buffalo can win the game. One reason why Buffalo can win the game.
It's going to be tough for them. With the rookie quarterback, with the injuries they have, the new head coach.
And what do the Patriots generally do with rookie quarterbacks?
They usually toss them around.
Eat them for lunch, right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe I saw two numbers today in doing my research where Bill Belichick is 13-4 against rookie quarterbacks. But he has never, never lost a game since he's been coach of the Patriots where a rookie quarterback was making his first start in the NFL.
No, he has lost two rookie quarterbacks.
Yes, he has.
But not in their first
start. Not in their first start. And that's exactly what E.J. Manuel is facing Sunday afternoon.
Right.
So, in that regard,
I'm anxious to
see him. How can the Patriots lose this game? And you're telling me that Ralph Wilson Stadium is the reason they could lose the game?
The environment itself, yeah. Possibility.
The environment is that good when the home team is playing that well.
Yes. You've been there, haven't you?
I have been, but I'm with
maybe
Eric.
Not maybe not when it's.
I'm with Eric on this one.
You've heard it. You've seen it.
Yeah, I saw. I was on the trip where we lost 34-31 up there.
That place can rock.
Place shakes.
That fan base is devoted. That fan base is loud when it has reason to be. They haven't had much reason to be lately, but when they do, that's a tough environment. It really is.
Well,
I mean, it's not as bad as Denver or Kansas City.
I'm not trying to denigrate Buffalo. What I'm trying to do, though, is, focus on, okay, if the Patriots are affected by a stadium and the fact that it's loud, then the Patriots have a lot more problems than just what they would have apparent on the field.
Well, again, John, this isn't like the 2007 or 8 Patriots who were an established veteran group who were, experienced in the offense. This is a bunch of new guys. So if things start to get loud and the communication starts to break down, if they're not all on the same page, that can lead to catastrophe offensively. And on defense, what they showed me in the preseason hasn't given me much optimism that they've made that expected jump yet.
Okay.
So for those reasons, if there's an environment that's hostile and loud, I think it could have an effect on a team whose roster, one out of every three players, is a rookie.
Okay, fair enough. Then in that regard, that's really the first question of the day that I have for fans that are listening today. We want you to contribute several things to the program today. It's a jam-packed show. We want you to jump right in. If you got to come and you got to go, you can always pick up the entire show on playback later on a podcast. But now's the time to kind of get going here. Number one, one reason in your estimation why the Bills can win the game. Think about it.
I really think, and when I say that, John, just I'm sorry to interrupt. The Patriots are beating themselves if that happens. That's basically what I'm saying.
Okay, that's actually where I was getting ready to go. One reason that the Bills can win the game is the Patriots beat themselves.
Yeah.
However, I'm going to leave that to, you know, our audience to discuss amongst themselves. There are many different ways to get a hold of us here in the program, and I will bring them to you shortly if you don't already know. Question number two. And this has more to do with New England. While you're thinking of a way for the Bills to beat the Patriots, any way that the Bills can beat the Patriots, considering the recent history between the two teams over the course of the last decade of play within the AFC East. We all know that Tom Brady's an MVP on offense. We all feel like Vince Wilfork's got to be the MVP on defense. So, you know, if there's a focal point to either unit, those are the two guys you probably feel like you could least do without. Am I correct with that assumption, or am I off defensively?
Defensively, I would put more of my eggs in Chandler Jones's basket. I think they'd be better. I think they could recover better from losing Wilfork than they could Jones.
I will disagree with you, but we'll just reasonable people can, you know, agree to disagree. That being said, and listening to what Eric had to say, what I want you to do is come up with, in your estimation, the most important player on this Patriots roster outside of the two obvious, outside of Brady and Wilfork. Who is the most important player on the New England Patriots roster for this season to be successful? Or not successful, for that matter. So I'm asking you to basically pick your unsung hero, someone that you think needs to have a good year for New England to also to have a good year. I've been giving this a lot of thought over the course of the last week, actually, since, you know, the last few days anyway, since the cutdowns were made to get down to 53. And I'm looking at the roster, and I'm thinking that the choices are actually slimmer than I originally thought. And maybe that has something to do with the fact that there are 14 rookies, you know, on that 53-man roster. So I think that puts a lot of focus on just a few key individuals. And if injuries do come into play, and we know they do, they always do, who is the person that the Patriots can least afford to be without, other than, oh, Tom Brady,
yeah,
or,
right,
oh, Vince Wilfork? Because that generally is who everybody's going to say. I want you to look outside of those two obvious choices and tell me, who is the most important person to the success of the Patriots in 2013?
Right, because they've had Brady the last few years.
Correct.
And it hasn't been enough. They've had Wilfork the last few years.
Hasn't been enough.
So,
Who
needs to augment those two guys?
Who has to jump up? Who has to step up? Who has to be a big-time Pro Bowl caliber, you know,
yes,
come on, boys, ride my shoulders back kind of player?
Right.
That's what we're looking for here, all right? And, you know, of course,
I'm going with Chandler Jones on defense.
You'll go with Chandler?
To get the pressure on the quarterback.
Okay. Hold your offensive pick in just a second, and I will allow you to pick an offense and defense if you like, or if you've got just one, that is also doable. On top of all of that, it is Prediction Thursday, mm-hmm, which means, of course, we need your score predictions. And, yes, we are playing for prizes today and every Thursday here inside Patriots Playbook.
Yeah.
A correct score prediction wins a copy of the Patriots yearbook.
Wow. Nobody won last year, right?
Nobody won last year. the Patriots yearbook slash media guide, if you will. And that's last year's that's sitting on the desk right there.
Yeah.
But it's a nice, thick.
I got a copy of my own
binder. Oh, you have one. Yeah. See, look. And it's got,
the new logo.
Man, it's got the new logo on it.
Yep.
Yeah. It's got, five players
the
on
captains.
The cover, including the
those
captain,
are,
Vince Wilfork,
year.
Right
yeah.
there. Kind of sharp on the back. And then, of course, it's got, the perfunctory Gillette stuff on the back. So. That's after all, that is our sponsor.
Well, yeah.
So, at any rate, you win a copy if, of course, you have the correct score prediction for each week's game. Here's how you respond to the program. The web radio address, the email address, webradio@patriots.com. That, of course, has never changed. 13 years here with the program. You should have that absolutely emblazoned in your brain. If not branded, webradio@patriots.com via email. The telephone numbers.
That would hurt.
Yeah, probably would. Although considering some of the people that we know, it's probably much ado about nothing. You know, it might just, you know, just might be sort of a little, what was that? You know, 508-298-0398 is the telephone number. 508-298-0398 or the toll free line. Woohoo! If you're just joining us for the first time this year, brand new toll free line, 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. If you're calling from outside the continental U.S., just take a look at the homepage of the website. It'll give you the direct
country
line
code.
Number and country code from wherever you're calling
cool.
to come right into the program.
Pretty neat.
But the toll-free number, 855-PATS-500.
We got our first one from Australia yesterday.
And we got one from Melbourne, Australia, which is awesome. And then, of course, the regular social media, the Twitter handle is @JRBroadcaster, JRBroadcaster. JR Broadcaster, that's my Twitter handle, and please follow. Picked up 10 new followers yesterday after the show.
All right.
Nice.
Slow and steady
so
progress.
So slow and steady progress. Love to pick up another 10 today.
Right.
If you're not following on Twitter, come on, let's go. Get on the bus, Gus, @JR Broadcaster, and the Facebook page, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E is how you spell the last name. Submit the friend request and got a half a dozen of those as well yesterday. So it's good to have you aboard because especially via Twitter and Facebook, we can still talk Patriots even when the program's not on the air. And that's what I love doing with football fans from all over. So there's many different ways to get us on the program. Those are your choices. So we want you to kind of pile on here. Now, we talked about how you believe primarily. Oh, and I should mention the show today. Coming up in our 3 o'clock hour, we're jam-packed, even more jam-packed than we are, you and I right now, than we are normally, because at 3 o'clock Eastern time, Russell Baxter, profootballguru.com joins us. Russell S. Baxter. We always try to include the S in there for Russell, but, he is,
what does the S stand for?
You know what? We should ask him.
Is it like Harry S. Truman, where the S didn't stand for anything?
It might be. Russell S. Baxter, where the S doesn't stand for anything except super, I guess.
Oh.
I don't know.
But stats.
Stats. That's also
Russell
good.
Stat Baxter.
Because he knows more football than you've probably forgotten. And I mentioned this on the show yesterday. We met when I worked at ESPN years ago. He was the first and only guy, and as far as I know, still the only guy, even though he's not with ESPN any longer, whose job 365 days a year, the only person in the entire ESPN network whose job was the NFL. Only player, only person, 365 days a year, NFL, 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 NFL. That's probably changed by now. He's obviously branched out on his own, but now he has his own website, and he writes for several web publications, including his own, profootballguru.com, and Bleacher Report. So all of that coming up for you at 3 o'clock, and then at, just after 3:30 our time today, Mike Rodak, who many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with his work when he covered the Patriots for ESPNBoston.com, and he, in the offseason, became the Bills beat reporter for ESPN, made his SportsCenter debut yesterday, in fact.
Was it a few weeks ago? Yeah.
Oh, okay. So what I saw yesterday was not his first time.
Well,
so
he did it via phone. I don't know if he was on camera.
He was not on camera. He did a phoner.
Oh, yeah. He's done some phoners.
Nice.
Throughout camp.
Wow. Well, then he was extraordinarily smooth for a rookie.
Yeah.
So I will give him some credit where credit's to do and bust his chops later. But,
glad he's actually in Buffalo.
He allegedly knows the Buffalo Bills as well as anyone. But, Mike Rodak will join us in the 3 o'clock hour as well to break down the Bills and the Patriots match up a little bit further. So that sets the table for you on today's program. Now, getting back to our original point, Eric says primarily, the crowd could be a factor on Sunday. If you've been to Ralph Wilson Stadium, in Buffalo, the Bills fans, especially in the past when this franchise was rocking and rolling to four straight AFC championships, and with the weather, when the weather is always a factor, it's always been a dynamite place to be. Perhaps less so in recent years. They've got a new coach. They've got a new quarterback, Doug Marrone, for those that may be uninitiated and haven't really delved into it here. I followed Doug over the last 3-4 years that he was head coach at Syracuse with my doing Big East football at the time. And, still am trying to get my hands around what kind of a team. Well, that too, but I'm trying to get my hands around what kind of a team a Doug Marrone coach team really is. And this is a question that I'm going to point to Mike, you know, in the next hour of the program, because he's not really you can't really call him a running guy. You can't really call him a passing guy. You can't really call him a pro set guy. Can't really call him a read option guy, even though he does a little bit everything.
Does he want that?
Maybe not, and maybe that's the secret. He did take a Syracuse team. That team was actually it was driven into the ground by the predecessors at Syracuse before he arrived, and he got them at least back to a competitive level, certainly not a championship level. So I thought it was odd, in all honesty, I thought it was odd that he got his chance at the professional game as quickly as he did. And maybe it's just because Buffalo and Syracuse have a relatively close proximity. Mm-hmm. And I know we've got Bills fans who are undoubtedly listening, and I'd love some insight here. But I'm guessing it's because the Bills fans followed Syracuse's progress, saw that he brought them from absolute abysmal status to at least a competitive status within what was then the Big East, and decided to give him a shot. I don't know why him over some other perhaps worthy collegiate coaches, but at the same time, will it work? Is it working thus far? They drafted E.J. Manuel, the 16th spot in the NFL draft last April. Admittedly, at the time. First quarterback taken, and that was a high spot. Higher spot than most people figured that Manuel would go. He has not disappointed yet, although he only played 2 exhibition games because of an ankle injury.
Yep.
And that's why he was iffy until getting the nod this week by Marrone as the starter on opening day for the Bills. Saw him play extensively at Florida State. He's mobile.
Yep.
He's got great athleticism. He's got a good arm.
Yep.
He seems to have a good head on his shoulders. Seems like a prototypical, great college quarterback that has a chance to be a good pro quarterback.
And as somebody who watched Vince Young very closely, how do those two compare?
They don't really. Young, I think, is much more mobile than E.J. Manuel. And Young had an aura of missability about him. Young could make you miss, as you well know, having watched him in college. Just go back to thus far, the greatest game ever played in BCS history, and we've only got one more year of that. But, you know, it was the Rose Bowl in 06, where Texas beat USC, and Vince just couldn't be stopped. USC's defense couldn't touch him. And he doesn't have, E.J. Manuel doesn't have that ability. But I think E.J. Manuel clearly is a better passer. You know, he's able to stand in the pocket better than Vince ever could. By the way, I was upset and disappointed that Vince didn't get a chance to stick with Green Bay. I actually thought he was going to, and I actually thought that might be a good spot for him. But hopefully he'll get another chance somewhere. But it's just another, you know, another example of great college quarterback not really making it in the pros.
Yeah.
Tim Tebow is our own version of that. He was a great college quarterback. He also had great athletes built around him in Florida, won a Heisman Trophy there. A pro quarterback, not so much. Anyway, since I digress, Manuel, I think, obviously has the potential to be a better passer, better thrower of the ball. I don't think he's as good a runner overall. And plus, I'm not sure you want to be as good a runner, because that could get you into trouble, could be a crutch that you might not necessarily want to rely upon as you progress as a pro quarterback. So is he Vince Young good? Well, no, but that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Does that make any sense? Think he could be a better pro than Vince
I think
was.
Based on his ability to recognize and stay in a pocket, yes, yeah. I do. I don't know whether or not he has the you know.
Does he mean defense is better?
We're going to find out on Sunday. I think
based on what we saw in college, do you think he does?
Well, you know, considering what he probably faced at Florida State, I'd say that there's a chance that he can. I just It's hard to say whether or not that he will, because again, week one predictions, I think we all realize you're stabbing in the dark.
Of course,
here.
Of course.
Right?
That's why I'm just trying to go off of his college.
Until we see him actually play against professional defenses. And I will tell you, he competed as well as any college quarterback I saw.
How many FSU games did you do live?
With him as the quarterback? Yeah. I think two or three. You know, and I saw a lot more than that.
It's a decent sample, though, for a
college
guy.
He was always the kind of guy that was in control. I was never overly impressed, but he was just in control. And I think that's probably what impressed me the most. It'll be interesting for me to see whether or not the Patriots can rattle him. And if they have any looks that undoubtedly he hasn't seen, and we know that this is where a Bill Belichick-led defense has excelled in the past when facing rookie quarterbacks. Right?
Yeah.
So we'll find out. All right. To the phones we go. And again, 800-855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. Eldridge in North Carolina. Eldridge, welcome back into the playbook.
Hey, John. I'm glad to hear you back. How you doing?
Thanks, buddy. What's up?
Hey, here.
How you doing? Did you call the new 855 toll-free number?
No, I haven't tried that one. I used the same number I called when I called other
people. Oh, no, you shouldn't have to pay for the call.
No, I shouldn't make that one. I'm not out of the country yet.
All right, but, there you go.
But, John, I'm a Florida State fan.
Okay.
Emmanuel's a little dangerous than what everybody think he is, because, one, he's better. He ain't better than Vince Young because he didn't win a title. But he's mobile and he's accurate and he got a strong arm.
All right.
You know, even during preseason, you saw a little bit of that, you know, until he got hurt. And one thing that if our front seven or front four don't get after him, you know, yes, he tries to stay in the pocket, but he got escapability, put it that way.
Yep.
And one thing that worries me about is the Bills can beat us. Well, they got three fast receivers and a tight end, you know. Mm-hmm. They gave us fit when we had that loss. I was feeling you, Eric, on that loss because I was mad as upset because my cousin – it was a Bill fan, so I heard it for a month.
Oh, jeez.
You know, I heard that for a month when they whooped us.
That was tough. Yeah, that was the worst part about that was the comeback, because they had them.
Yeah, the comeback.
They had them dead to rights, and
you know
they let him come back.
That was the Red Rifle. I guess they call him that. Amish Rifle, whatever they call Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick?
You know, he came back. And Patrick ain't as mobile as Manuel. You know, he's good, but he's not as mobile and fast as Manuel is. And that's the only thing that really concerned me, but knowing that Bird is out and Stephon Gilmore is out, I'm kind of hopeful on the passing attack. But the two guys I'm looking for to step up is Thompson on offense. And if we lose Tlaib, that's it. Because our secondary, I'm sorry, just does not wow me at all.
Yeah.
You know, for the people that have kept, they got rid of and brought back, I can't understand that about Bill. Because there's more quality cornerbacks out there than what we got on the roster. I understand the knowing the system, but if you know the system and can't play the system, what's the use of having you?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't understand that.
All right.
You know. But that's the only reason I feel that the Bills might win. I hope we don't, and I'm hoping they don't, rather. I'm hoping it's like a 35-20 win. That's the score I'm predicting anyway.
Okay.
You know. But as far as us just shutting them out, I don't think that's going to happen. You know. A little bit too weak on defense. Offense, a little bit unknown with the new faces. But like I said, we got Bill and Brady. You know, but both of them can't go out there and pitch it and catch it and run it and stop people either.
Right. All right, so what's your score again? Give it to me again. One more.
35-20.
All right. One player, Eldridge, other than Brady or Wilfork, that needs to be a difference maker for this team.
Oh, I would say on offense, Thompson. And on defense, Tlaib.
Tlaib is a good one.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
And I would agree. Thompson have to win on the outside. He's going to have to. Dobson, I'm not sure. I would put Quentin Sims in there before I put Dobson in there.
Well,
and that's what I would. You
Sims
know,
is on the practice squad, so he's not going.
I know he's on the practice squad, but he showed more flashes than Dobson, and he's a second round pick. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, he showed his. He also did show his flashes against the scrubs on the other side.
See, Dobson played against the other side too.
I know.
And he couldn't get open. He made a couple catches, you know. But like I said, Sims to me showed more than Dobson did in that one game than Dobson did in three games.
All right,
you know, and I recorded all four, and I keep looking at them.
Okay, How can then in your estimation?
Stop torturing yourself, Eldridge.
Right. How can the Patriots lose this game?
How can they lose?
Yeah.
One, if we don't put pressure on Manuel and corral him when he start running, that's one. And then second, like I said, you gotta put pressure and at least knock the ball on or sack him before the receivers get loose on our secondary.
Yeah.
You know, secondary, like I said, I don't have that much faith in our secondary. I don't. Besides Talib, that's about it. I stopped right there.
I still have my concerns too. I'm with you.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what I would do if I was coaching. I'll put McCourty on the other side with Talib and try Wilson and try to get another safety, like Babinon, put him back there. Because he's better than the other ones we got. Other corners, he's better than them.
Okay.
That's what I would do.
All right. Eldridge, good stuff, my man. Good to hear from you.
All right, thank you, John.
All right.
Have a good one.
You
all
got
right.
it. You too. And I'm sure we'll hear from him often.
Oh, yeah.
He's a faithful follower here in the playbook. Let's get to Mississippi. DeAndre joined us in the playbook. Hey, DeAndre, how are you?
All right. How you doing, guys?
Excellent. Excellent. What's on your mind today?
I was calling in, first-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you.
First time, so I'm excited about it.
Good.
Look, on the offensive side, I believe Arian Dobson, he has to step up. You know, I think Kimbrel Thompson has shown that he can make plays and create instant impact in the offense. Already, damn it. Danny Amendola, you know, is supposed to be a veteran if he, you know, can stay on the field. You know, it seems as if, he can get hurt eating lunch. So Arian Dobson can show more opportunities where that he can get open and fight through the press coverages,
mm-hmm.
We should be able to be okay on that note. And as far as on the defensive side, I believe I'm going to just go with the whole defensive core. I think we need to gel more. You know, it's a lot of players that should be making a two-year jump at this point in time. And I feel like, you know, our defense is young. You know, we have, you know, a lot of rookies, you know, a lot of sophomores coming back. And we should be able to gel more this year, you know. So I'm looking forward to the season. And everything should be all right if possible.
All right, very good. We're kind of losing your signal there, DeAndre, but so thank you for the phone call. All right, so he's going to kind of take the generic everybody on the defense needs to pick it up a notch. When you consider where the defense made some strides last year, perhaps not enough for most fans' likings, but we saw some improvement over 2 years ago where statistically they were at the bottom of the league in just about everything. Is it reasonable to assume that they can continue that upward curve, I mean, this year based on the people that they brought in?
Well, I'd like to think so. But just like I said, nothing in the preseason led me to believe that they're yet doing that.
Yeah.
And part of it is it's the preseason. You're not going to show you're not going to unload your full playbook in those four games.
Of course not.
So I still have reason to be optimistic about the defense.
Sean from Vancouver sends this in. He says, guys, Buffalo can win this Sunday by taking advantage of early New England mistakes
mm-hmm.
and then having the inexperienced Patriot players continue to make mental errors.
Patriots being themselves, like I said earlier.
Well, that's the one thing that we said, and that's the one thing you must guard at all times is beating yourself. Turnovers kill. I think we all know that. It's a great equalizer in pro football. I think we saw what happens when you turn over in the preseason against a good team.
Mm-hmm.
You get your butt beat.
Detroit.
Exactly. Most important defensive player, he says, will be Chandler Jones. He has to take the year two jump
right.
and put pressure on quarterbacks.
That's right, Sean.
Most important offensive player will be Rob Gronkowski. New England needs him to beat better NFL teams. I'd right now settle for being healthy from the day he starts to the day he finishes. And by that I mean the Super Bowl or whatever short of the Super Bowl they actually get to. That's what I want to see from Rod Gronkowski.
Speaking of Gronk, do you want a little practice update?
Please.
He's made progress the last few days. He has taken steps toward getting back to where he was.
All right.
Today, what he did differently than yesterday, the offense ran their they had a shell offense. Basically, they had their 7-on-7, except they didn't have the 7 on defense. They were just the 7, the skill position players, lining up where they would normally on a play and running the route at about 3/4 speed. And Brady was throwing to the guy that was supposedly going to be the open guy on that play. Gronk was taking those reps with the first unit. Going in motion, lining up in a three-point stance, getting up, going to line up as a slot, you know, in the slot on 2 feet, moving around, catching passes, doing more, being more involved on a team basis than he had been since we've seen him this summer.
Is there a chance he plays Sunday?
There's a chance, yes, but I would. I would venture to say he's not going to play. I think that's why Matthew Mulligan was signed. And I think that's the, because I don't think normally they would carry four tight ends. I think they would just go with the three.
If he does not play, would you expect to see fewer, if any, two tight end sets?
No. I don't think they'll change their philosophy or their play calling because of that. I don't. Okay. I think the tight ends that they have proven capable enough of doing what is asked of the tight ends in this offense.
Are they asking too much of a guy like Zach Sudfeld?
I think he has the ability, so no, I don't. I mean, if all they're asking him to do is catch the ball, I think he's shown he can do that.
He's got to hold on to the ball.
Well, he had one unfortunate fumble.
It was notable.
It was notable, yeah, but it was just one. Mm-hmm. It's not like he was doing that all summer.
Mm-hmm.
That was an aberration. Hopefully he's learned from it.
Hopefully.
But no, I don't think they're going to change and suddenly become, you know, three or four wide receivers or load up and just run the ball. No, I think they're going to be the same looking offense that they have been.
Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting to note about Gronkowski.
But yeah, he is.
So he's back. He was actually working with the first team today.
Yeah. At least in the early part when we're allowed to watch, and it was against, you know, no defense.
Yeah,
it was
right.
Just against air.
Yeah.
It was seven, the offensive skill, just running their routes, doing the route tree. The running back behind Brady, you had wide receivers and tight ends.
And perhaps that was just to get him some reps, and who knows, right?
Just another step in the right direction.
In the progression. As he tried to tell us yesterday, but, you know, went the Bill Belichickian route of, you know, just trying to get better day to day, you know?
Yeah. So. And those are the steps he has to take. I mean, he's still, you know, we haven't seen him blocking at full force like we know he's capable of.
Mm-hmm.
He might not be ready for that yet.
Right.
Either that or he's doing it when we're not around.
Mm-hmm.
But from what we're able to see, the limited amount we're able to see, he has made progress this week.
Anything else from practice today of note that we should know about?
Aaron Dobson listed on the injury report yesterday. The first injury report came out. There were seven players on it. Dobson was one of them, listed as a hamstring. Didn't specify, but today they were wearing shells and shorts, and it looked like he had some sort of medical. It looked like a giant Band-Aid is how I would describe it. It was the same color as a Band-Aid. It was an enormous thing that was attached to the left side of the back of his leg.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming it's his left hamstring that's bothering
probably
him.
Probably some kind of a heat treatment. That's
some kind of, yeah, like one of those type, mm-hmm. what type of things.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Amendola has a groin injury that limited him yesterday. Didn't seem like it was bothering him today in practice. He was running around looking fine, didn't have any noticeable problem.
Of the injuries that kept him on the sideline with St. Louis, are you aware of specifics as to was it one area or another that really kind of kept him out?
No, it was various things.
Right.
And last year when he was with the Rams, he missed the game in London against the Patriots because he had an injury that nearly could have cost him his life. He had a broken collarbone that the break of the bone was penetrating,
right.
I think, the upper part of his lung.
Lung, yeah.
So he escaped, you know, something really, really bad from that. But he's had other things around. It hasn't been just one. It's not like Gronk with the forearm where
right.
it was a repeating thing.
Right.
But the seven guys, one guy didn't practice. It was Will Zvitek. He has the right knee issue that's kept him out for the last week or so. And the other six guys were limited with things that don't appear to be all that serious because most of those guys were talkers in the locker room. And as you know, guy's really hurt. He doesn't talk.
Right. Very true.
And Dobson was one of those players, I should point out, who talked yesterday.
Who did talk.
Yeah. And this was after practice. So it's not like he didn't know he was dealing with a hamstring issue at that point.
Interesting. By the way, Sean from Vancouver, who sent us the email there, he predicts Patriots 23, Bills 10.
That's pretty close to my prediction.
That's his score, and I'll let you give that here momentarily. Mm-hmm. Josh from Charlottesville, Virginia. I'm just emailing in with my weekly prediction since I don't have much time today. I'm calling the game 35-10, Patriots win. Wish I could elaborate, but I'm swamped. Go Pats. See, now here's somebody who clearly doesn't have his
priorities
right.
Work needs to take a backseat to the playbook.
Yeah, I think. Come on. You know, you got to step aside for the playbook, right? What are you looking at?
It changed. There was a fool with sunglasses on doing a hit on ESPN.
Oh, okay. Somebody video bombing?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, it was a reporter.
Oh, gotcha. Howard.
Use that term loosely.
Yeah. Howard from Stratford, Connecticut. First and foremost, welcome back for another fun year of NFL football. Thank you, Howard. And by the way, Howard, I remember, has actually listened to this program, if not all 13, this would be the 13th year.
Oh, wow.
He was one of the original people. I remember emailing the show back when we started.
You should just send him a media guide just for that.
Probably should.
God bless. God bless.
Excuse me. What the heck brought that up?
Hay fever season, right?
It must be. All right, he says, the Bills D forces the Pats O into turnovers and actually scores points, taking the pressure off of the young Bills quarterback. I believe the Pats O is going to get punched in the mouth early and often in this game by the Bills' defense. Pats O is going to need to take those shots, shrug them off, score points, preferably touchdowns instead of field goals. One player the Pats need to play well this year, Aqib Talib.
Yeah.
In order for the D to take the next step, they need to stabilize the secondary. I believe that Talib does this, and how he goes is how the D will go this year. And how the D goes is how this team will go. The Pats O will score points. Of that, I have no doubt. But the D is going to need to stop others from scoring because I don't believe, at least in the early part of the season, the Pats O will not be as potent as they have been in the past. I think it's actually pretty well thought out there, Howard. If I had to side with a player on either side of the ball in terms of importance, well, I certainly understand why you would say Chandler Jones, because to me, an effective pass rush is automatically going to make your secondary better.
It covers up a lot of errors.
Yeah. Players don't have to defend for as long if the quarterback is, you know, having to rush out of the pocket or scrambling for his life back there. So I understand Chandler Jones, but I would agree with a couple of emailers' early assessments now that to me the most important defensive person right now has got to be Aqib Talib. I'm going to side with Talib on that one simply because, as Howard put it, he's got to stabilize the secondary. He's got to show that there is a cornerback capable of shutting down the top receiver on the opposing team. Talib seems to be the kind of guy that can do that, has done it in the past. Do I think he's the best corner in the NFL? No. But he's got to be the best corner the Patriots have. And that perhaps is more important. Chandler Jones is choice 1B if Aqib Talib is 1A, but I'm gonna take Talib as being my most important player on the defense. Offensively speaking, it's easy for me to look at it and say, well, it's gotta be Rob Gronkowski because when he comes back, that gives Tom Brady another huge weapon. And I don't disagree with anybody that would say Rob Gronkowski is the most important player outside of Tom Brady on the offensive side of the ball. But I'm not gonna pick Rob Gronkowski. I'm not gonna pick Danny Amendola. I'm going to pick Kenbrell Tompkins. And the reason I'm going to take Tompkins is because...
A lot of pressure.
Yeah, there's a ton of pressure on him and or Aaron Dobson to produce, being young wide receivers. But I think Tompkins is the kind of guy that can handle it. Number one, because like I said yesterday on the show, and I've told anybody who you know cares to know, I've watched this kid play at the University of Cincinnati. Talented, physical, ability... Came in undrafted, you know, under the radar, came in, showed exactly what he could do, and now he's in a, you know, potentially a starting role for a team in the NFL after coming off of the free agent pickup heap. He was undrafted, okay? He's made the team, and now they're going to rely on him. And we saw early in the preseason that Tom's got some confidence in Kenbrell to be where he needs him to be. So all Kenbrell Tompkins needs to do is just get to
show up.
He needs to be.
Yep.
Brady's going to find you, my man, and you got a chance to catch 50, 60, who knows, 70 balls. Now, Danny Amendola is going to be the leading receiver on this team, but I think we all expect that to happen.
Provided he's on the field every game.
Provided he's on the field. But for the Patriots to have... Let's continuity with last year or to have the potential to go beyond what they did a year ago. They need another receiver to step up.
Yeah.
Kenbrell Tompkins is the guy.
Yes.
You buy that one?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
So I'm going Tompkins offense, Tlaib defense.
And he's an undrafted guy who's moved into what looks like a starting position. John.
Well, but the pressure's off of him. He's an undrafted free agent. He's not supposed to be where he is right now.
And if
I don't think there's any pressure on the guy at all.
And if he does take a step back, then you say, well, you know,
he's a rookie.
We drafted Aaron Dobson for that role anyway.
Yeah, and he's a rookie. He's a free agent. I mean, we took a shot,
but
you know?
He's been a pleasant surprise, for sure. And if he can, boy, be amazing if he ends up being a starter opposite Danny Amendola on Sunday.
It could happen.
What a story.
It could happen.
What a story.
Well,
it'd be a story if any of these three or any combination of these three, and I say three, Boyce, Dobson, and Tompkins, are part of a regular rotation.
I see no reason, offense. At least right now, why they wouldn't be.
But no, I mean, it's a story because not just one, but three rookie receivers contributing at an area where the Patriots have been deplorable of late.
They haven't had good success in the draft, certainly with receivers. Haven't had good success cultivating receivers at all.
No.
In recent years.
Other than, you know, Wes Welker.
Well, yeah.
Cultivating, I say cultivating because he was a young player when they got him.
When they got him, but they did pick him up you know, from Miami in a trade. But bringing in guys, you know, guys that would be either free agents or draftees, they've had no success.
No.
Zero success. Tim writes on Facebook, he says, the only chance the Bills have is if Spiller gets loose, and with limited tackling in camp, it is a possibility, but I still expect the Pats to keep a lid on him. 27-13, Patriots, he says, is his choice.
Pretty close to my pick, too.
Two players to make a difference. Gostkowski, one missed field goal can be the difference between a win and a loss. A bye or a wild card game. He needs to be that automatic Pro Bowl-level kicker that he's capable of being. Second guy, Spikes. Love the way he sets the tone on D. We need more of that physicality throughout the team. Make teams fear more than just Tom's arm.
I buy the whole motivator thing with him. But aside from that, he doesn't make enough big plays for my liking. I don't think he's that valuable.
Well, I'd love to see him
be
that.
I'd like to step up. I'd like him to, but right. I just haven't.
I think that's what Tim's saying, but, you know, we're trying to, hopefully this is a guy, one of those guys that we need, that needs to be cultivated to being that step up guy. Maybe to being more of that demonstrative guy on that side of the ball.
I think we've seen all that Brandon Spikes can bring.
That's it?
Yeah.
Really? What leads you to believe that?
Well, he's going into year four.
Okay.
And usually if you're going to be that player, you do that
earlier,
a little bit earlier.
Interesting.
Like this, like with Jerod Mayo. Jerod Mayo's a solid player, but he's been the same type of player for the last few years. There's no reason to expect that he's suddenly going to become Clay Matthews. You know what I mean? And Clay Matthews made that jump early. J.J. Watt made that jump early. If you're going to do that, you do it at a younger age. I think these guys are past the point where you can have lofty expectations for them.
Mary Beth says a weather prediction for Sunday is rain.
Yeah.
Wow.
And what, 70s, I think?
Rain in 70s, huh? At least it's not, you know, snow.
Lake effect.
Lake
right?
effect, right? She also says Patriots 28, Bills 14 for her prediction. And then Matt says on Facebook, give me Steve Gregory on that essentially any safety not named McCourty. He says the pass defense has to improve this year. They can't give up the middle of the field like they did last year. So he says Steve Gregory for most important on defense.
I'm not buying it.
No?
No.
Okay.
I don't buy that one. He's not that important a player.
All right, so you gave us your most important on defense. You like
Chandler.
Yeah. On offense?
I like what you said about the rookies, but I'm going to go with Amendola because it's a little unfair to place so much pressure on any one or all of those three rookie receivers. A guy like Amendola is a proven commodity. All he needs to do is stay healthy, which for him is a big deal. And if he can produce, and you add that to Gronk coming back healthy and any of those young receivers at least contributing, not necessarily being superstars, Amendola has to provide what Welker provided for them to continue to be the type of offense that they were.
Okay, Amendola. One more here. Got a tweet from Jeff who says, it's Jeff from Albany, who says, Buffalo can win by Spiller going off. Offensive player, Shane Vereen. Defensive player, Gerard Mayo. And then he says, score 42-13,
oh,
Patriots.
Boy. Wow. Wow.
That's a lot of info
that's
for a tweet.
Yeah, it's a lot of points,
a lot of
too.
Score, too, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know if we go quite that high.
Yeah, I'm not quite that high. I still think they win and cover.
All right, what do you think?
Close to what some of the earlier predictions were from fans, I'm going 27-10. Patriots.
27-10?
Yeah.
All right. Because this team has gone six consecutive games scoring 31 or more against Buffalo. I'm going to stay with that theme, and I'm going 34-20. Patriots.
All right. So 14-point win?
14
yeah,
points.
Yeah, that's
they
reasonable.
Are favored anywhere from 9.5 to where I saw today 10.5 points right now.
So that's fine.
On the road, which is significant. It's the largest number in the NFL. I know you guys were talking about it during PFW.
It's tied. There was somebody
tied.
Else who
somebody
had
else
a
9.5. Somebody else is
9.5? Yeah.
All right. So at 10.5, it would be the biggest number of the week.
Yeah.
And the fact that the Patriots are the road team makes it a little bit more significant, but I don't think anybody really knows for sure what you're going to get out of the Buffalo Bills. New coach,
yeah, new
rookie quarterback.
Two. In case one goes down,
and then
the backup is a rookie.
Jeff Toole. So, you know, who really knows?
Right.
We just don't know. So it's probably fair to go with that number. You're relying a little bit more on knowing what Tom Brady and or a Bill Belichick-led defense can give you. And if the Patriots don't turn the ball over a la Detroit in the preseason, should win this game by a couple of scores. Should. Fair enough?
Yeah.
There's still plenty of time for you to get your prediction in. Remember, this is Prediction Thursday, amongst other items. So you send it to us via email, webradio@patriots.com. You can pick up the phone and you can call us at 508-298-0398 or toll free at 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. You can hit Twitter at JR Broadcaster. Is the Twitter account. We want you to follow along, and you can go to the Facebook page, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E, is the name, and submit the friend request, and then we can chat and we can exchange ideas and all kinds of things via the Facebook page as well.
I think it'd be fun, too, to hear from either before or after the fact any Patriots fans listening, or Bills fans or whoever, who are going to the game and what their experience was like.
You mean like at Ralph Wilson Stadium?
Yeah. Yeah, anybody who's listening now who either, you know, because I know there are some people who like to make that trip because it's relatively close. You know, it's a day's drive from here, from this area anyway. But there might be other Patriots fans in the middle of the country or in the New York State area who are going or just, you know, curious to hear from, you know, people who are going to actually be there. And experiencing it live. Because watching a game, as you know, John, in person is way different than on television.
Before we do, do you have a word of the day today?
I could give you one.
You
if
give
you
us
want
a word
one?
Of the day? All right, sure. we'll wait. All right, here we go. We'll let Kevin lead it off.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
I really miss this.
Gets
in the offseason.
Gets me every time.
I know. I've missed this a lot.
Okay.
All right. Word of the day.
Traduce.
Traduce.
Mm-hmm.
Is that short for introduce?
I knew you were going to say that too. No, it's not. I'm going to traduce my new word of the day feature.
I'm traducing my word of the day.
No, traduce. T-R-A-D-U-C-E.
Okay.
It means to speak of falsely or maliciously.
Oh. So if you traduce someone, you slamming them.
Yes.
Basically.
Exactly.
Okay.
You dissing them.
You diss?
Right.
nothing like bringing the 21st century street slang into the conversation here.
Well, you know, we're defining the word.
Okay.
As people can understand.
That's what we're doing.
Traduce.
All right. I like that. That's a good one. All right. So we traduced that to you today.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Before I let you go, though,
yes.
I want to get your 2 cents on what Stevie Johnson had to say earlier this week about the Patriots secondary, that there's nobody that can cover him,
mm-hmm.
and whether or not it has any kind of a factor at all with a younger locker room down the hallway.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what. I tell you this. Patrick Chung is going to give him a lot of room. He is not going to play tight press coverage on him.
I think he's going to give him a few hundred miles.
He's going to give
him
plenty of space. That's how that's going to play out.
Yeah, that was pretty stupid, wasn't it? It was just stupid.
It really was stupid. But I wonder, now, because Stevie Johnson has said and done stupid things in the past, so I don't put it past him that he actually didn't know that.
Yeah.
But something tells me.
I haven't played against Aqib Talib yet. You know, check him out on tape. Long, athletic. You know, I got a lot of respect for Chung. I know him. I know him personally. McCourty, he's been a Pro Bowl player, but I still think we could take advantage of their defense.
He knows Chung personally. That's good to
he
know.
Does.
He doesn't even know what team he plays
no,
for.
No, no. Part of me wants to think he did that on purpose.
Yeah.
But I can...
But why do you tweak the nose of the Patriots when you've lost to him 18 out of 19 times?
Because he's not very...
Bright.
He's not very bright.
No.
However, he's very talented. And he can do what he says he is going to do. And that's what I fear. That he will do something like that. And that's another thing. You know, people are talking about Spiller going off. If Stevie Johnson has a big day... Then that could be a problem too, because as we saw in Philadelphia first preseason game,
mm-hmm.
that was the ones against the ones. New England went down the field, scored right away, boom, gave Philadelphia the ball. 2-3 plays later, boom, long pass, touchdown, Eagles. Ones against ones. So if Stevie Johnson has that kind of a day, this could be a closer game than people may want to admit.
Well, I think it would take an extraordinary effort by Stevie Johnson and C.J. Spiller to keep that Patriots defense off balance mm-hmm. and keep the ball out of Tom Brady's hands. If they can do that, then yes, Buffalo can make this a game. But, you know, my siding with the score that I predicted at 34-20 has to do with A, the Patriots don't turn the ball over, mm-hmm. and B, that the Patriots do find a way to get in the head of E.J. Manuel and give him, you know, shall we say, cause for concern or pause for concern, mm-hmm. because if you give him pause, that gives a guy like Chandler Jones a little bit more time to get to you.
Get his paws on him.
Get his paws on him. Very good. All right, Big E, thanks, buddy. Have
no
a
problem.
Good trip to Buffalo.
Thank you.
And we'll check in with you on Tuesday, right?
No,
you're off on Tuesday next week.
No, I'm not, because we have a Thursday game next week.
So you'll be on Tuesday.
I'll be here Tuesday.
That's right. I keep forgetting it's a Thursday game.
Right.
What a week next week.
Next Tuesday is like a Wednesday.
Right. So
because next Thursday
Tuesday,
is a Sunday.
Wednesday, and then Thursday is game day.
Thursday is, yeah.
Wow.
Right.
Extraordinarily quick week, but we can't get to that before we get to this. All right. Eric Scalavino, PFW. We're going to take a timeout. The guru, Russell Baxter, joins us in the playbook.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance, dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios triple play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
With power comes responsibility, and NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's time to go around the NFL with football guru Russell Baxter on Patriots Playbook.
As hour number two of Patriots Playbook for 2013 continues, it is my pleasure to once again welcome back a good friend and one of the most knowledgeable people I know on the subject of the National Football League. I've known Russell Baxter well, probably since the late 90s, I think, would be about the time that we first became acquainted with each other, Russell, when we worked at what I guess could best be described as they call themselves the worldwide leader in sports. But at the same time, though, the relationship's gone much more than that. And I think what we found through our relationship over the years is that we got two guys here who just love talking about football, whether we're on the air or not.
Well, I don't think there's any question about it, and thank you, as usual, for the kind introduction. But you didn't make that clear, John. Is it the 1890s that we first met each other? Or the 1990s
thank
that we
you.
First met each other? That's what I think inquiring minds want to know.
Somebody, I'm sure somebody probably has thought of that before you did, so listen to these two geezers talk football. But at any rate, profootballguru.com, where else can we find you these days? Bring us up to date on you right now.
Well, we just recently redid the website, John.
And it looks magnificent, by the way.
Thank you. Fan versus fan. And, since we last talked, which was that we were just starting to get involved with Yahoo,
yep.
The contributor network, and I've written about 90 pieces for them in the last 8 or 9 months and having a blast with them as well. We are also now on Pro Player Insiders, which does a great job, and I'll be doing a once-a-week piece called History Lesson, which is something we did the first year of Pro Football Guru.
Right.
We'll take a matchup each week and go back and look at a historic matchup. This week we picked Pittsburgh and Tennessee. Why? Well, I just kind of thought it was appropriate to go back to the 79 title game when Mike Renfro, did he catch that touchdown pass? Did he not catch that touchdown pass? One of the most controversial plays in the history of the playoffs and eventually spurred the instant replay in the mid-80s.
And a few cold hard football facts. We're back with Terry Byrne and their great staff.
Good.
Having some fun. And we're on about 6 different websites. We're on a lot of different radio networks. You'll be hearing me weekly with Doug Gottlieb on the CBS Sports Radio Network.
Nice.
Having a little fun with some factoids, maybe 5 factoids, something like that.
Nice.
And actually, I'm down in Baltimore tonight. With the Gridiron Gals and Rita Hubbard have their usual opening day party that they have down there celebrating, raising some money for charity. And I will be co-hosting a Thursday Night Tailgate, which you can find on the Internet, doing the first hour and has some great guests. Jennifer Garrett, who wrote Move the Ball, is down here in Baltimore. And a group I'm sure you're familiar with, Matt and Craig Steichen.
Mm-hmm.
The All 32-17 team, the father and son who takes the Wounded Warriors around to all the stadiums in the National Football League, they're going to join us live from Denver at about 8:15 Eastern time.
Nice. Well, now, if you're in Baltimore, did you not get the memo that the game was in Denver?
Yeah, well, you know, I like to book things early. And so I'm actually, I think I'm just going to go to the Orioles game tonight.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, I, as I wrote in Cold Hard Football Facts, isn't the whole thing for the Birds, Ravens, Orioles?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
But in all due respect to everybody, I mean, this is just one of those unfortunate, unforeseen circumstances. Now, I will also say this. If I'm Baltimore, I don't mind going back to Denver. They did pretty good there last year.
Yeah, that's also true. They did play pretty well, yeah. That's
yeah,
also
true. I mean, if I'm Denver, I'm a little nervous. I mean, and I'm sure we're about to talk about that, but very intriguing game. The champions, you know, John, as you know, because we are the old fogies.
Yeah.
You know, this Thursday night opener where the Super Bowl champion hosts the game, this really only goes back to 2004. Remember, the Thursday night game was created, the opener was created with 9/11 in mind. If you remember the first year, it was the Giants and the 49ers at the Meadowlands.
Mm-hmm.
The second year was the Jets, the Redskins, and Washington. Became such a hit that they then decided to become a formula with it. And it became the Thursday night opener and usually a slam banger. In 04, I believe it was the Patriots and Colts in an AFC championship game rematch.
Right.
In Foxborough. And ever since then, the Super Bowl champion has opened at home on the Thursday night. But again, this is just one of those circumstances, and all I'll say is this. Denver's expected to win this game tonight, aren't they?
I would think that Denver's expected to win this game, yes, largely because they're home, largely because they're probably seen as the quote-unquote new favorite in the AFC going in, because they have somebody that Patriots fans I know are very well aware of.
Yes, they do. But there's also a few people they don't have.
Yep.
And that's going to be a big part of this game tonight. And I kind of go back to the playoff game last year when the Baltimore Ravens, and I know they played 5.5 quarters, but they still rolled up 479 total yards on Denver's defense.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that stuck the most out to me was the fact that here was a Denver team that during the regular season tied for the NFL lead with 52 sacks, and in 5.5 quarters sacked Joe Flacco one time. Now, that's with Elvis Dumervil and Vaughn Miller on the field. Now, you know, the good news is that Elvis Dumervil will be on the field again tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
He just won't be wearing the Denver Broncos uniform.
Right. How about that?
And let's also throw in the fact that, as it was reported yesterday, Champ Bailey doesn't look like he's playing tonight either.
Ooh.
Suddenly become a very, very intriguing game for a Denver team that really has revenge on their minds. Why do I get the feeling Elvis Dumervil is going to get the revenge? But you know me, I'm all about the facts.
And the facts are, offensively, Denver looks to have a pretty potent lineup, and Baltimore defensively has taken some hits, missing obviously two huge veteran presence from the Super Bowl team of last year.
Yeah, and Baltimore, the funny thing is, because they had so many injuries last year, John, with Terrell Suggs didn't play a big chunk of the season, Ray Lewis hurt, Ed Reed, you just never know. This was not the classic Baltimore defense that we kind of know and love. You know, almost since their inception in the league in 1996, they were 17th in the league last year in yards allowed. That was their worst ranking in 10 years. They gave up the most rushing yards in a season in the history of the franchise. Now, I know they don't go back 20 years, but still, this is a team that's always been good against the run. And What people forget about the playoff run last year was they did give up a ton of yards rushing. They gave up a ton of yards, period, there. But what they were opportunistic, and we keep on seeing this now. You know, all the Joe Flacco talk of 11 touchdown passes and no interceptions, which was phenomenal for him, but 10 was the bigger number.
Yep.
And that was the number of takeaways the Ravens had in the four playoff games last season. And get this, 8 of the 10 were against the four starting quarterbacks they faced.
How about that?
Andrew Luck had 2, Peyton Manning had 3,
mm-hmm.
Tom Brady had 2, and Colin Kaepernick made history last year, Don. He became the first San Francisco 49ers quarterback to ever throw an interception in a Super Bowl.
Wow. That is something. Yeah, when you consider all the success that they had with Joe Montana over the years primarily.
And Steve Young,
and
obviously.
Steve Young.
As well. But even when their backups got in those games,
right,
they never threw a pick. And lo and behold, Colin Kaepernick got picked off by a what a surprise. It was Ed Reed,
mm-hmm.
who was tied for the league record with 9 postseason interceptions. So, I mean, timing is everything.
Sure it is. You know, since you are in Baltimore then, you know, with the perspective of the game tonight for the show that you're doing there, what's the impression on Joe Flacco and how much pressure he has on him just because of the mega bucks deal he signed in the offseason?
I think it's more not so much the pressure of the money. I think it's more the pressure now is he has to become one of the leaders of the team. They made the transition last year because their defense was not what it used to be, and still may not. I mean, they plugged a lot of holes with free agents. Chris Canty, Elvis Dumervil, Darryl Smith, you know, Michael Huff. We're going to see all those guys in action tonight. But we have to also see if this defense gels. But last year, they were more offensive-minded. And, you know, I like to talk about the fact that, you know, they kind of meandered around the field, for lack of a better word, that first half against the Colts in the wild card game. And then all of a sudden, it was Flacco to Bolden deep, and it was Flacco to Bolden deep. And then the rest of the playoffs was a lot of Flacco to the receivers deep. You know, remember, for all the Jacoby Jones and the Raheem Moore discussion that we had about late in the game, I seem to remember Torrey Smith running by Champ Bailey a couple of times in that game as well.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Jacoby Jones run by the 49ers secondary. We saw Anquan Bolden have a big game in the Super Bowl as well. So it was a lot of Flacco, not necessarily high percentage, but big play. And that was a big part of what their offense was, and I think they're counting on him to be that catalyst once again. So I think the pressure is more on his role, which has changed since he was a rookie. And now he's kind of the, without, I don't think any question, at least the offensive leader of this team.
Well, I think most, to me anyway, most of the expectation for Joe Flacco is, all right, you know, he's kind of called himself one of the elite quarterbacks. He led his team to the Super Bowl last year and won a Super Bowl, got a big money contract. He needs to follow that up by being an elite quarterback.
Well, yeah, he does have to take the next step forward. And I think because of the way the team is built now, he needs to. I mean, during the regular season last year, he only threw 22 touchdown passes and 10 interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, now we talk about the postseason in which he threw the 11 touchdowns and no picks. But what people forget is in those first 3 playoff games, John,
mm-hmm.
he was completing less than 55% of his passes, which in this day and age is, you know, not very good if you're a starting quarterback. Most starting quarterbacks complete at least 60. He completed 66% in the Super Bowl. But, you know, there were times in the preseason, and the preseason is what it is and so on. But there were a few old-time Joe Flacco passes we saw during the summer and not necessarily the new-time Joe Flacco passes we saw in the postseason.
Right. All right, and then, Russell, finally, before we kind of move on to a couple of other things here, the Ravens are concerned for this next season, or excuse me, where the Broncos are concerned, while Patriot fans know that Wes Welker is clearly a part of the offense now. I kind of look to see whether or not a guy like Demaryius Thomas can be, for lack of a better phrase, the Megatron of the AFC. That kind of had that kind of an impact for his offense. And if he can be, then maybe Denver is, you know, a true Super Bowl contender in the AFC. What do you think about Demaryius Thomas?
Well, it's great correlation there because obviously they're both Georgia Tech guys.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
That size speed combination, there's no question he can be a superstar. What I think is going to be interesting this year is I think Demaryius Thomas, remember Eric Decker last year was the guy who led the team in touchdown receptions, although Demaryius Thomas led the team in catches and yards. I think that Eric Decker is going to be a 100-catch receiver this year, and not necessarily Wes Walker, but I think Demaryius Thomas is going to be a touchdown guy, maybe 13 or 14. I have no problems in thinking that the Denver Broncos won't score points. Okay, that won't be the issue. Defensively, I'm just curious what they're going to be, especially early in the season, especially without Von Miller the first six games. You know, Peyton Manning is used to being on teams, and we saw it to a degree last year, of getting a lead and turning loose the pass rush. Where exactly is the pass rush coming from in Denver now? Is it Sean Phillips? Is it Robert Ayers? Will they have to blitz more? I'd be very, very interested. And if they do blitz more, does that lead them very susceptible to the run? I mean, what got lost in last year's playoff loss to the Ravens was the fact that Baltimore had 155 yards rushing in that game for a team that was top five in run defense during the regular season.
Okay. All right. Well, one of the things that, for those that might be uninitiated, one of the things we do each week is we take a look at some of the key games around the NFL. And while Denver and Baltimore kind of kicks us off for the entire season tonight, we'd be remiss if we didn't touch on a couple of others. There is no bye week in the opening week. Nobody opens with the bye, so it's a full slate of games. I'm just going to touch on a couple of key ones here, but I'll start in the National Football Conference with the Atlanta at New Orleans game. Divisional rival, two teams expected to be at the top of the heap. That's a good way to kick off the season.
It sure is, and I think everybody will remember the last time they played, which was a Thursday night in Atlanta. Drew Brees saw his 54-game streak of throwing a touchdown pass end, and he threw five picks in that loss to Atlanta. Remember, New Orleans handed Atlanta their first loss of the season last a year ago.
Sure.
And you want to talk about, you know, I talk about a rivalry that, you know, I think now garners more and more attention than it did, but it's been a good rivalry for a long time. But how's this, John? The Saints won the division in 2009. The Falcons won it in 2010. The Saints won it in 2011. The Falcons won it in 2012. But what gets lost there is Saints 2009, Falcons 2010, Falcons 2012 were all the top seeds in the NFC, which is very impressive. Now, also keep this in mind. Since we went to eight divisions in 2002, there's only been one division where a team has not won the title back-to-back years. And that's the NFC South. All four teams have taken their turns doing this. I think that might change this year.
That's remarkable.
And one reason it's going to change is they're going to get off to a good start at the Superdome this week and steal a couple more Drew Brees passes. And I don't think the Saints defense, which of course was the worst in NFL history in terms of yards allowed last year, is not quite ready for prime time, even though prime time's not playing in the game. And the game's not in prime time.
So you kind of like the Falcons to repeat, do you?
Yes, I do.
Okay, that's fair. Let's jump to another NFC game. Green Bay playing at San Francisco. Same situation almost. I know they're not divisional rivals, but, you know, teams that are thought to be contenders in the NFC, and it seems like the NFC this year, Russell, kind of like the last year or two, is loaded with teams you could say, yeah, I could see them going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, there's no question about it. And this is a playoff rematch from last year.
Sure.
You know, Green Bay, of course, kicked off the season against San Francisco and Lambeau and lost. They ended the season at San Francisco. By the way, there are several Green Bay Packer defenders who are still chasing Colin Kaepernick from that playoff game, especially Eric Walton, the outside linebacker for the Packers, who ran all the way past Kaepernick and ran to Indianapolis and joined the Colts. I think you'll remember 181 yards rushing with Colin Kaepernick as Dom Capers made the adjustments for what he's going to see this weekend. And have the Packers found a way to protect Aaron Rodgers, sacked 51 times last year. You think Alden Smith's overdue for a sack? Remember he had, what, 19 and change the first 13 games of the year? And that was it. I think he'll be on Aaron Rodgers early and often in this game.
All right. Flip it over to the AFC, and we usually try to hit on the divisional opponents as well as the Patriots game, if not another big game within the AFC. I want to start in the division. Miami's playing at Cleveland. It's really hard for me, and I heard the PFW guys around here talking about this earlier today. It's hard for me to get a grasp on this one because you just don't know what either team is going to bring to the table. Miami, according to ESPN, is a team that can and will win the AFC East. I'm not quite sold on the Dolphins to be that good just yet, but if they are an AFC East winner, don't they have to win in Cleveland?
Yes, and that's why I don't think they're an AFC East winner, but I think they're a playoff team, which they haven't done. You know, they've had four straight losing seasons. And I don't think they will win in Cleveland because Cleveland is going to be a pain in the you-know-what for a lot of teams this year.
Right.
I thought in terms of coaching, they made two excellent moves in the offseason, John, getting North Turner as an offensive coordinator who will not only do and has already done wonders with Brandon Whedon, but wait and see the kind of year that Trent Richardson has. As people know with Norv, as an offensive coordinator, it's not just the quarterback. He has always done great things with the running backs. And Ray Horton is running a talented defense, very underrated defensive coordinator, did a great job with Arizona last year. People just don't know it because they had such an awful season after that 4-0 start. And the Browns have one of the best offensive lines in the league. I would say probably top five. And that offensive line will be going against a pretty decent defensive line to the Dolphins. Don't get me wrong. Cameron Wake, Randy Starks. But a few changes on the Miami defense. I think Richardson has a big game, and I think the Browns take this.
You know, North Turner, I thought, though, was also a stroke of genius. Loved him when he was the coordinator for the Cowboys, and they were winning Super Bowls back in the early 90s. And I did think that that was one of the better offseason moves that kind of, at least around these parts, got under the radar. And you can understand why that would, considering the tumultuous offseason we had here in New England. But I don't disagree
with... Well, the thing about North, too, John, as you well know, he's really been much maligned as a head coach.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
As an offensive coordinator, there's a doubting his success. And we see this all the time where guys who are more successful as coordinators as head coach. And I always like to point out this fact, and maybe just maybe these four other guys had something else to do that day.
Sure.
But I always find it interesting that it wasn't Michael Irvin and it wasn't Emmitt Smith and it wasn't Jerry Jones or Jimmy Johnson who was the inductee for Troy Aikman into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It was North Turner.
Right. Doesn't surprise me in the least. And, of course, Cleveland, a future Patriots opponent as well on the schedule this year. Also in the division, the Jets open at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Geno Smith getting the nod at quarterback, just like another rookie within the division getting a start at quarterback against the Patriots, and E.J. Manuel from Buffalo, which we'll talk about in a moment. But the Jets, like the Patriots, have a quick turnaround. They've got two games in 7 days. Two games in 7 days. That's basically
five
what's going to, or
exactly.
5 days now. 5 days. That's right. Patriots will have 2-5, but the Jets will have 2-7. Two games in five. You're right. This is Thursday. Why do I keep thinking it's Sunday?
I
keep thinking today's Sunday already because I'm talking football. All right. So they've got the same schedule as the Patriots, and they're the ones that get to go home for their first two, or actually home for this one. And then they've got a short ride to Foxborough next week. And I wonder if that helps them or hurts them.
Well, because it's a division opponent, I think it's probably a non-factor. I mean, obviously Rex Ryan knows Bill Belichick and vice versa. Probably even better on the vice versa, as a matter of fact. But, you know, this game is very interesting. Tampa was a team last year that was 6-4 at one time and suddenly went into a tailspin, and it was more than just the quarterback who had a lousy ending last three games. I think he threw two touchdowns and nine interceptions, Josh Freeman we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
A perplexing Tampa defense, which was number one against the run, dead last against the pass. They went out to fix that this year with Darrell Revis, Deshaun Bolson. Obviously, Darrell Revis is making a homecoming, which he didn't spend a lot of time on the field last year. I got hurt the third game of the season. One thing I noticed about the Jets during the preseason was their offensive line, which has had some issues the last year or so, all of a sudden looked a little nastier with Willie Colon and Steve Peterman with the guards. And Tampa is a team, we just talked about them being number one against the run. But Roy Miller, Michael Bennett, part of that front four last year, you know, one's in Jacksonville, one's in Seattle. I'm not going to be surprised if the running game at the Jets does a little more damage to the Bucs than people think. And I think the Jets come out of here with a win. I don't know how pretty it's going to be. But I think they do. I'm actually disappointed that Geno Smith's not facing a quarterback named Pat, because Pats and Geno's, I mean, for a guy who's from Philadelphia,
yeah, but see, I'm not either a Pats or a Geno's guy, unfortunately. I'm a Tony Luke's guy.
Right, though. I mean, it's like the little small vendors.
Yeah.
On the corner and stuff like that.
Yes.
Great memories.
Yeah, unbelievable memories. You're right. All right, so let's get then to the Patriots at the Bills. Sunday afternoon, the 1 o'clock Eastern time start at Ralph Wilson Stadium. We've been, you know, kind of kicking back and forth. Reasons. why the Bills won't lose. I mean, in other words, is this a fait accompli? Will the Patriots win? What does Buffalo have to do to have, you know, the proverbial snowball's chance? And you know what? Is it that easy? Is it really, are we taking an unbelievable leap of faith here? But we just don't know what Buffalo has because you got a new coach, new quarterback, a lot of new, new coaching staff. What are we looking at here from Buffalo's perspective?
I think maybe a little bit of element of surprise. And, it is a young, new coaching staff. It's a rookie quarterback. But it's also a pretty good running back tandem of C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson. I know the Bills lost Andy Levitre, but they've got a pretty respectable, offensive line to begin with. I'm not going to be shocked because here's what I could see happening in this game. I mean, New England, and by the way, was it 23-2 in the last 25 meetings with the Bills?
Yeah, 18 of the last 19, correct.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's astounding. And but something tells me that because I'm not quite sure what New England's offense is going to be yet, and I'm talking more specifically in the passing game, but I think by season's end, this is going to be one of the best running teams in the league when I talk about the Patriots. I think that's what their bread and butter is going to be. Back to defense, and I think their defense has potential to be a lot better, not just taking away the football, but actually stopping people. But I'm going to take a little flyer this week and saying the Patriots aren't quite what we think they're going to be yet. I expect them to win the AFC East. It wouldn't be inconceivable of them to be in the title game or the Super Bowl. But I'm going to take a flyer on the Bills this week because of Spiller. And early in the game, watching C.J. Spiller maybe frustrate New England's defense as a receiver. And then later in the game, him and Jackson as runners. I don't have a score for you, John, but I'm going to circle the wagons this week in a little bit of a surprise.
I have not seen a Patriots fan who has emailed or tweeted in their score that even has the Bills within 7 points of the Patriots this week. Everything is double digit or not hard to be more than double digit, but everything has been double digits.
Well, you know what's been interesting about this series? It's almost like watching two college basketball teams. Teams going on. Remember a couple of years ago when New England was up 21-0 and they lost the game in Buffalo?
Yeah,
and then
Buffalo
came back and was leading 21-0
right
at Foxborough near the end of the year and gave up 49 straight points.
Right.
We've seen some wild, I want to say it's six games in a row that the Patriots have scored at least 31 points on the Bills.
That is correct.
And that's the big thing with the Bills this year that I think is going to be different. I think defensively with Mike Pettine, who obviously knows the division, former Jets defensive coordinator, made some moves. There's a young rookie to keep an eye on, the second-round pick, Kiko Alonso, for the Bills. He's kind of my pick for defensive rookie of the year. I think he's going to be a very productive guy in terms of tackles. They've lost Gilmore for a couple of weeks in the secondary. But I'm not going to be surprised if Buffalo's front three or front four, whatever you want to call it, causes a little havoc at times. And this is not going to be your classic high-scoring game between these teams that we've seen the last two or three years. Somehow I think that this is going to be like a mutter game. I just have a sense that the Bills are going to be a lot better, at least this week. I mean, this is a team that's been in the AFC East basement 5 years in a row. But every once in a while, you get a chance to open the cellar door. And I think that the Bills are going to come out peaking a little.
Wow. All right. Gives us something certainly to mull over and something to discuss again next week.
And curse me out for it.
That's quite all right. That's why we love you. Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com. What does the S stand for when I say Russell S. Baxter? Is that like Harry S. Truman?
Stephen with a P-H.
Stephen with a P-H, okay.
P-H by his father, the late Russell R. Baxter, Russell Raymond Baxter.
Nice.
But my mother, my late mother, of course, always insisted that I use my middle initial when I wrote. And there are some people that say it stands for stats, which is very flattering.
Which is exactly what we thought.
And there are some other things that have stand with the letter S that I won't repeat on the air. The people have called me. But for now, it's
no.
with a PH.
No, nobody's ever called you that. Not to my knowledge,
well,
anyway.
Not, I mean, I better go check my Twitter. You never know.
Yeah, there you go. Russell, it's great to visit with you. Thank you so much for being with us this week again, and obviously this season again here on Patriots Playbook. And we look forward to conversing as the season progresses.
I am ecstatic that you have me back on again. And I don't know if we've done this since, but I'm sure we have. Are we actually going to do it? It's almost like a pregame show next week because the Patriots and Jets are playing on Thursday.
Well, actually, I don't think we are, to be honest with you. I've asked. I haven't asked that yet, but I think it's because we have a pregame social type of, you know, different sort of programming alignment prior to the game. So probably not, but maybe, you know, if the schedule works out, we'll work on Wednesday next week.
All right. Well, that works for me. Hey, listen, I'll talk football with you with two tin cans and a straight jacket.
Perfect. That works for me.
And that, it's economical, too.
Yeah. The audio quality isn't great, but that's okay. Russell, thanks. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, John. Thank you again.
All right. Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com. All right, so I guess I needed to ask that question, Kevin. We're not going to do a show next Thursday?
No, we'll have no shows on Thursday except for the pre- and the post-game show.
What time will the pre start? Since the game's at 8:30, right?
The pre-game will probably start around like 6.
Okay, so no shows leading up to?
No, Fred, it's on. I have this master schedule back here. I just looked back.
Wow. That's not going to be. We're not going to have happy fans.
You wouldn't
have
to come in and do a show and then work the PA all night, would you?
Nah, it doesn't bother me. I mean, I'm going to be here for football anyway, brother, you know? I mean, what the heck, right? Okay.
What time would you normally get in?
What time would I normally be here?
Yeah, for just doing the PA.
Let's see. Well,
for an 8:30 game.
An 8:30 game, I'd probably be here by 4:30 or 5.
So instead you'd have to be here by like 1:30, quarter of 2.
2 or 3 extra hours? Eh, you know, it's football. It's football season. What else is there to do, right? Until there's basketball, it's just football. All right, speaking of just football, let's get a quick break in here, and then Mike Rodak, ESPN reporter for the Buffalo Bills, joins us in the playbook.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance, dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios triple play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Jumping right back into the playbook as we begin to wrap up the first week of Playbook broadcast here on Patriots.com radio. And as you heard Kevin mention just a little, just before we took the break, next week, a short week as well because of the Thursday night game and the home opener here against the New York Jets. So we'll have playbooks on Tuesday and Wednesday next week, and then just the pregame social here on Patriots.com radio on Thursday leading up to Jets kickoff. But before we get there, you got the Buffalo Bills this Sunday. Mike Rodak is probably familiar to most of you who have followed the Patriots for a while, especially if you've frequented the ESPNBoston.com website, because he's covered the Patriots along with Mike Reese and Field Yates over the last couple of years. And then in the offseason, ESPN moved him to Buffalo, and that's where we find him here, as he's the beat reporter for the Bills for ESPN. Mike, I know that there is other important information running around your head right now, like the Big East schedule just being released a little while ago, and the Friars have to close at Creighton. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's a tough game now, John. I actually thought you're going to start it off with a question about Pascal Chukwu. I mean, that's all I'm thinking about right now.
I know.
Right?
I know. I know. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you got to go to Omaha at the end of my. Oh, my goodness. All right. Anyway.
Sounds like fun.
I know. I digress. So, how's the gig been? How has Buffalo been for you?
It's exciting. It's actually, I think I woke up today. It was about 55 degrees out.
Wow.
It's sweater weather in the first week of September, so.
Already chilly.
Not too exciting.
Yeah, no kidding. So, what kind of Buffalo team is this going to be? Because no one around here really seems to be able to get their hands on it, and I guess that's to be expected when you have a new coach, new staff, new quarterback.
Right, exactly. I heard Bill Belichick say that this week, where they really don't have too much tape on these two quarterbacks. And obviously now we know we're going to see E.J. Manuel on Sunday, but the offense is different to what we've seen in past years in the Bills. Certainly start the quarterback, you have a new guy, but new offense coordinator Nathaniel Hackett, who really tries to speed things up. It's going to be a no-huddle look. Might see some read option looks. And really the deep pass is something they want to try out too.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a player do you, before I get to the individual players, you know, having seen Doug Marrone teams for the last few years when he was the head coach at Syracuse, it was kind of hard for me, and I mentioned this earlier in the program today, it was kind of hard for me to really get a feel for a style. I mean, was it a pro style? Yes. But were there certain quote unquote college, implementations within that? Yes, there were. With a mobile quarterback like E.J. Manuel, might we see some surprises? Might we see some things that the Patriots just have not scouted?
I think we will. And I'm just looking from the little we've seen in practice this week, again, the read option is something you really want to look out for with these guys. I wouldn't even be surprised if a little Wildcat gets mixed in. Mm. I think they want to try to surprise the Patriots defense and not just put Manuel back there, you know, five-step drops, seven-step drops. And really this offensive line still has some holes there. And I think they want to try to protect him, first of all, just try to mix things up a little bit.
I can't imagine that part of the game plan wouldn't be trying to get the ball into C.J. Spiller's hands as much as possible. Is that a correct assumption?
I think it very much is, yeah. And, just thinking today, Doug Marrone went on the radio, and he sort of even said himself, hey, people don't really know, we don't even know how C.J. Spiller is going to hold up over the course of the season, given the increased, you know, load of carries that we expect him to have. But for Sunday, at least, yeah, he's hit the ball, and they really got to wash out. Mario Williams today said in the locker room, hey, our number one priority is stopping the run.
Yeah, I can imagine it probably would be. So they're expecting the Patriots to come at them with this, you know, quote-unquote running game that we saw sort of begin developing in the preseason. Is that a correct assumption there?
I think so, yeah.
So while the Patriots have that perhaps to look forward to, defensively, it seems like Buffalo's strength has to be perhaps up front because of some of the question marks in the secondary. And Jarris Byrd, I know he's been asking for a trade. I know he's got the foot problem going as well. So might it actually play into the Patriots' hands if they decide to, wing the ball a little bit with even untested receivers?
I think so. That's one of the underrated aspects of these Bills, is that they're second there right now. It does not look very good. And obviously, Byrd he's questionable, I'd say, for Sunday. He's been limited in practice, and we'll kind of see what he can do. But the bigger loss right now is Stephon Gilmore, who's really been their top cornerback since he was drafted last year.
Mm-hmm.
He was like second in the league in penalties last year. Only had one interception, but people are really high on that guy. And he's out now with a fractured wrist for 6 to 8 weeks. So without him, they have Lotus McKelvin,
Ron Brooks, not a whole lot of guys who you would feel very confident against playing against Tom Brady. So certainly something you need to look out for.
Yeah, all right. So Gilmore's out. Bird obviously is limited, I guess, somewhat. What do you think would be a strong suit for this Buffalo team going into the season, since so many people seem to not really know what they have other than pretty good 1-2 punch with Spiller and Jackson at running back?
I'd say it goes back to the offense, and obviously a big part of that is Spiller, but I'd look out for a wide receiver. Obviously, Steve Johnson, as we heard this week, thinks he can't really be stopped. I don't know how tongue-in-cheek he was on that one, but... Mm-hmm. Marquise Goodwin is another guy to look out for, the Olympic sprinter the Bills have to draft in the third round. We saw him with a kickoff return for a touchdown in the first preseason game, came right back, and had like a 50-something yard return right after that. So both on offense and on special teams, he's a guy who can really get behind that Patriots defense and give them some trouble.
Shocking, Mike, that you failed to mention where Goodwin went to school.
That is a great point, John. He is from the University of Texas, just to point out to you, all your listeners about that.
Just thought I'd bring that up. I don't know why. It really means nothing in the overall scheme of things other than the fact that he's really fast, you know? And he wears burnt orange well. So, and not too many people can do that, including yours truly. So, all right, so while we know about Buffalo, what you just mentioned, what's a surprise factor? What's something that might actually, be laying under the radar right now that you feel like, based on your observations of Buffalo, when you joined the team and you joined covering the organization during, I guess, what, OTAs primarily, and then getting through training camp, what's opened your eyes a little bit as an X factor for this team?
Well, I think you go back to now the defensive side of the ball. You have Mike Pettine here, who really had some pretty good games against the Patriots. Second week, 2009, he just blitzed the hell out of them and gave us some problems there. And then, you know, in the playoffs, 2 years, I think it was the year after that, he just, I think it was six or seven defensive backs and confused Tom Brady, whatever you want to call it, and caused some problems there. So I look for Mike Pettine's defense being a big, you know, not an issue for the Patriots, but something they need to really look out for.
Okay.
What he's going to get.
Yeah. All right. What are the expectations of Bills fans with the first year staff and a guy like Doug Marrone, and whether or not is there any sort of real expectation here, or is this a sort of a soft landing spot for him with a chance to build something?
I'd say it's less to do with Marrone maybe and more to do with EJ Manuel. You know, Bills fans have seen a lot of coaches come through here in the past decade or so, or really 2 decades since Marv Levy, and you know, they know that whoever's coach, it really depends on who's quarterback, and this is the first time they've drafted a quarterback in the first round since J.P. Watson, which was almost 10 years ago. So it's really, there's optimism as long as, you know, EJ Manuel can avoid looking like a rookie, which at this point he has avoided looking like a rookie. So right now I think the expectations are sort of lukewarm. They are optimistic about EJ. At the same time, they know that, look, this team has the longest playoff drought of any team in the NFL, so let's temper things a little bit.
Does anybody in Buffalo talk about or care about the fact that they've still lost 18 of the last 19 to the Patriots? Is that ever mentioned?
No, of course it is. I think there was a second question in Monday's press conference with Doug Marrone is, hey, you're first year head coach, but do you realize the sort of history that weighs on you here with this matchup? And Marrone sort of brushed it off. You know, this is, you know, a fresh start, whatever you want to say. But I think Bills fans, you know, are certainly, it's clear to them that the Patriots had the upper hand in this one.
Yeah. All right. What are your own expectations for this game? And I think I've seen a couple of score predictions, but, you know, I just talked to Russell Baxter, and he kind of thinks that Buffalo's got a shot here to pull off a bit of a shocker. What will it take for Buffalo to win this game on Sunday?
I think it will take the sort of game we saw out of the Patriots 2 years ago up here, where you saw, I think it was Tom Brady threw 4 picks.
Yep.
And, it's going to take a meltdown from Brady because the secondary isn't going to do a whole lot to stop the Patriots offense. The front seven, again, that goes back to what I said about Pettine, but in an offense, I think the Bills will really need to run over the Patriots with CJ Spiller, and teams have done that before. Teams have had good rushing games against the Patriots. That's nothing new. And as we saw last season, I think it was in Seattle, if teams can get behind the Patriots with the deep ball, then they also have a chance. So any combination of those factors, I think, will make it a pretty good game. And, you know, wherever the cards fall, the edge, but my expectations would be Patriots win, I think, and it could be closer than I think what most people think. That's the only thing.
Yeah, and got a score you want to throw out?
Sure. I put up 35-21, and I think it could go anywhere. I think Patriots can score 30 points, so
yeah, they've
so
done, maybe they've done 20, that six straight
21-24.
Yeah, they've done that six straight games against the Bills, and while the Patriots offense has obviously got some question marks on its own end, you know, I guess it's probably fair to say that there's just as many question marks defensively for Buffalo, particularly in the secondary.
Agree, yeah. And I think it's just, it's too young of a team. It's too, you know, it's too fresh of a start for E.J. Manuel. And it's just, things may come together maybe week 17 if the Bills are having a great season, the Patriots are kind of having a rough season, maybe things will be different then, but
yeah,
right now, I think it's too fresh.
I think one of the other unique things about this particular matchup is that since you've seen it from both sides over the course of the last couple of years, you know, through your ESPN Boston work, is the fact that one thing that Bill Belichick has done very well is he's made games for rookie starting quarterbacks very difficult. And, you know, not only, but how about rookies that are starting their first ever games? Belichick, with the Patriots, has never lost one of those.
Right on, yeah. And again, that goes right back to E.J. Manuel. Again, I've been very impressed with him, just seeing him in the past month or two, just watching him and seeing him off the field, too. I think he's a very poised individual, but it's look at Brady versus Manuel and Marone versus Belichick. It's just, it's hard to see the Bills right off the bat winning that.
What does Manuel do in particular that sets him apart, in your estimation, toward being a good pro quarterback?
I think it's avoiding the mistakes, as I mentioned before. It's just didn't throw any interceptions. Again, he only played two preseason games, but you're not going to see, you know, the sort of boneheaded, you know, let's throw it right to the defender. Let's, you know, he's going to take the sack. He's going to throw it away. He's going to try to scramble. He's not going to throw the interception. And his interception is killer. So that's the biggest thing. And obviously, if you have that as a base, you're not making those mistakes. And you can sort of build off that and say, hey, let's try to do this better, let's try to do that better.
Right.
Then you start to get better as an overall quarterback.
Right. Okay. All right, Mike. Hey, good to talk with you, buddy. Thank you so much for the time. You know, hopefully you'll get down this way for a college basketball game before all is said and done this year, because I know you get to come for at least one football game.
Of course. Week 17, and hopefully
around
for some Big East action.
Yeah, there you go, baby. Sounds good. Best of luck, Mike, and we'll be following, we'll be reading along.
You bet. Thanks, John, for having me on.
You got it. You betcha. That's Mike Rodak, ESPN's Buffalo Bills beat reporter, joining us here inside the playbook. We got just a couple of minutes left in the program here, but I do want to say hello to our good friend Melvin in Tennessee. What's up, Melvin?
Rodak, how's it going? How's it going, man?
Good, baby. Absolutely. Glad to be with you.
Yeah. It's been a long time.
What's on your brain today?
Well, thinking of just the last time I was actually on the show, one of the last things I heard you say was, well, it's going to be a very important offseason, especially for this team and for number 12 getting older. And, boy, didn't it start off looking good, but turned out, you know, pretty sour so far.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It's been a rough ride, but it's okay. But I know you're about to get off the show, but one of the main things I wanted to talk about was just that I know Baxter already talked about it, just the flip side, you know, 21-0, you know, going to Buffalo and then coming back there, and they getting up 21-0. So just going into these games, making big plays and starting off the game with an impact. I feel like that's an important part of just football in general, starting off with a, you know, setting some type of tone and not playing to the level of your competition, because, you know, the Patriots know they're better than them.
That's a good
if
point.
They can go up there and low. You know, if they go in there and play the football, they know for a fact that they're better than the Bills.
That's a good point.
You played around with the Bills last year. You played around with Miami, Fort Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Jets. You played around with a lot of bad football teams last year. So I want to see them go in there and just set the tone. But one thing I noticed about the preseason was how the defensive line was so much better, I thought, this year so far and just in preseason versus last year. So I thought we're a little uncertain with the safety position. I feel like if we have a really improved defensive line pressure and that consistency up there up front, I feel like we'll be a better football team. Unlike others, I don't think you need to score 40 points every single time to win a football game. As long as we have that, as long as we can actually stop somebody, not just turnover.
I think that's a huge key to the overall success of this team trying to build something this year, is that the defense continues to improve, where the defense can actually make stops, and instead of, you know, well, let's just hold on for dear life here and hope that the offense can literally outscore the other team. You have to hope now that the defense can win a game for you in that fashion by stopping the other team cold and coming up with a big play when they need it. Last year we saw some of that with some big plays. At least it was a step in the right direction from what we had 2 years ago, which was abysmal. You want to see that continue this year. You may need that, especially early, as the receiving core with Tom Brady begins to try to gel. And that's why this game is so really, honestly, I mean, we can throw scores out there and talk about, hey, the Patriots should win this game because they've dominated Buffalo in recent years. But frankly, we just don't know what it's going to be like until these guys step on the field on Sunday. We don't know what we're going to really see from Buffalo. We don't know what we're really going to see from, you know, the Patriot receivers and how confident Brady's going to be in throwing their direction. We don't know until they do it.
Right. And, you know, it's really hard to judge these rookie quarterbacks because you look at all of them, you know. Let's say Cam Newton, who had that second-year slump. And just with all those rookie quarterbacks, because I think you don't really have that scheme basis and stuff like that, so they start off really hot, I feel like. Paper with Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, stuff like that. So these second years are going to be real important for them. So now that you don't already have that those scheme and not a lot of film on, you know, this guy, you really don't know what to expect. I think we've already talked about that, but I think in due time it probably will get a little bit easier, but this game is nervous for me just because, first of all, they played them sloppy.
Right.
They've had problems tackling Spiller, and this you don't have the film on Manuel so far just to, you know, maybe I think it's going to be a lot of adjustments, a lot of on-the-fly type stuff with him. So
fair.
It's going to give me just a little bit weary just based on the last couple of games that we've had with them, a lot of games that we had with them. But
sure.
I still say, hit them in the mouth early, set the tone, you'll be fine with any game.
Give me a score. You know, give me a score for Sunday, Melvin.
Score, I still think we're going to score 30. I think they have problems. I think they have problems in that secondary, and it's still going to be just a rough ride for them, I would assume. I'll say Patriots win 30-20.
All right. Melvin, great to visit with you. I'm sure we'll talk again.
Oh, yeah, we will. I'll talk to you later.
You got it. Melvin in Tennessee. He says 30-20. A couple of other quick score predictions. David on Facebook says Pats 34-20. Nate Solder, can't imagine losing that offensive lineman in terms of an important player, as we were talking early on the show, outside of Tom Brady or Vince Wilfork, for the Patriots to have some success this year. That was actually my score prediction, David, 34-20. And then Paul says, John, score prediction 34-13, Pats. Their rookie QB will be overawed. I don't know if anybody's overawed, but he says the pass rush will tee off on him all day the way they did against the Bucs in preseason, possibly making us think they are better than they really are. Brady will connect with Amendola, Tompkins, Dobson, Ridley, and Vereen will run it well. We may just see a cameo from Gronk in garbage time to knock off a little rust. I don't know that that will happen, although Eric Scalavino did tell us in the opening hour of the program here inside the playbook today, Gronk worked out with the first team, even in 7-on-7 shell drills with no defense against him, but he was running plays with the first team offense today. I'd still be surprised if he plays on Sunday, but that certainly is a step in the right direction. Our thanks to Mike Rodak, who covers the Buffalo Bills for ESPN. Our thanks to ProFootballGuru.com's Russell S. Baxter for joining us in the playbook, as he will each and every Thursday here on Patriots.com radio and the Patriots playbook. All right, so it's game time Sunday, 1 o'clock Eastern. Pre-game social, all that good stuff coming up right here on Patriots.com radio. So you might want to make sure you're here for the guys. And then it's Jets week, baby. It'll be a short week again next week with a Thursday night home opener. National television home opener with the hated J-E-T-S. But it's going to be a big week and we'll be action-packed. And you won't want to miss a minute of it. So we hope you'll be back with us same Pat's time, same Pat's channel in the playbook next Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern time. See ya. They wanna get mine. They wanna get mine.
Tuesday through Thursday. Hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.